The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed on Youth Voice Amplified are those of the host and the guests and do not necessarily represent the official policy or position of the Kern County Superintendent of Schools Office. Any content provided by our guests are of their opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, school, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.
Youth Voice Amplified covers a wide range of topics that could be upsetting to some listeners. Content warning for each episode and links to resources can be found in this episode's show notes.
For the purposes of maintaining confidentiality, names and some identifiable characteristics of our storytellers have been changed, but their voices and their stories are real.
When young people share their stories, they can change the world. But some youth voices still go unheard. Join me, Janessa Fisher.
And me, Brian Johnson, for this youth-led monthly interview series as young people tell their untold stories of experiences with homelessness, foster care, disabilities, teen parenting, and more.
Each conversation will uncover stories of hope, strength from our youth storytellers who want to share the best ways that we can all support youth in similar situations as theirs. If you want to know how to do better for youth or simply just be inspired, this is your show. Every youth has a story to tell.
Are you ready to listen?
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Youth Voice Amplified, the podcast where every youth is heard and every voice matters. I'm your host, Janessa.
And I'm Brian. Today we're talking with Pablo. He's been through a lot and his story is both real and hopeful. From tough times in the foster care system to discovering his love for education. Pablo's journey shows how strong someone can be when they don't give up. We're really honored he's here with us and share what he's learned along the way.
Pablo's story is one that many young people can relate to, especially those navigating systems that don't always listen, understand, or support what they really need. Pablo's experience reflects what so many youth in foster care go through, especially when systems fall short or don't know how to support them.
But even through the tough times, Pablo found his strength. He found purpose for people who believed in him and a way forward. Now he's using everything he's been through to uplift others who are walking similar paths.
This conversation is real and uplifting. You'll hear about the growth, healing, and what it means to keep moving forward, even when the odds are stacked against you.
Now please enjoy our conversation with Pablo.
So Pablo, welcome to Youth Voice Amplified. We are so glad you're here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show.
So before we start any interviews and get into your story, we want our audience to kind of get to know you a little bit. So we ask icebreaker questions, and today's icebreaker question is, what is your most used emoji?
The crying face.
Like the laughing crying face or just the crying face?
The one with the, just the two lines of tears.
I think that's one?
The laughing one.
So you use it for like the, like you're laughing, like you're in tears.
Yeah.
I do use that one a lot too, I'm not going to lie.
I feel like I use the...
The pinching one?
The pinching one, yeah. I'm like this. Or the thumbs up. I use the thumbs up a lot.
I don't really thumbs up at all, I'm not going to lie. Thumbs down. No, I'm kidding. We also like to ask our guests, what does Youth Voice mean to you?
To me, Youth Voice means to be connected with all youth within the voices of different youth.
Great definition. You mentioned wanting to talk about how foster care shaped your life. Would you mind sharing a bit about your early years, what it was like growing up, and how that experience led into the foster care system?
So for me, foster care shaped my life through... lots of tribulations within the system. Before foster care, I had this vision that I was going to go to the military. And that was at the age of 11. But when I got into foster care, it kind of diminished. From the experiences within a few bad homes.
At what age did you get into foster care?
At 11.
At 11?
Yeah. So your experiences in the foster care system kind of diminished that dream of joining the military. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And why would you say that per se?
Because it kind of took my sense of hope from going into a home where I trusted lots of people and they misused my trust and took advantage of me.
That sounds really hard, and I'm sorry that happened to you.
That's okay.
What would you want people to understand about your early experiences before foster care?
Before foster care, I lived in a very harsh conditions for a child, but I took the role as the house caregiver and the responsibility of making sure my brothers were fed and had clean clothes.
What was your like living situation? Like you mentioned your brothers. Did you have multiple brothers?
I have four brothers.
Four brothers.
And I used to clean the house and make food for them. And make sure that they went to school and that they would wake up early in the morning. I would also try and tell them to keep their hygiene up, such as brushing their teeth or taking a shower. So that before foster care, that I was a parent, basically. I would cook, clean, care for them. And once I got into foster care, I couldn't do that anymore. I couldn't care for them the same way because of the foster home we were living in.
Mm-hmm. And as far as... your brothers, were you like the oldest? That's why you kind of took that role?
I was the second oldest.
Second oldest.
Yeah.
Okay. It sounds like you had to become a parent real early in life. How did that make you feel?
Honestly, I felt I would be angry because my brothers, you know, they weren't that much younger than me. But they would just play video games all day. Even my big brother. And for me, for one, I didn't like the video games, and then I didn't want to have to fight my big brother for the video game. So instead, I would just use my time to take care of things in the house.
What made you kind of feel the need, like, I need to kind of, you know, be the big, big brother and take care of everyone, even my oldest brother?
Honestly, I have no idea.
That's fair.
I just, as a kid, automatically knew what to do. A lot of the times I always spent time alone. So it was either taking care of my brothers or I would kind of walk in the hills by myself. And I just always was cleaning, cooking, going and buying the groceries at the grocery store for all of us. It was just, I don't know, something that I just felt I was obligated to do.
If you don't mind me asking, you can share if you'd like. In this situation, like, were your parents around much when you were kind of taking care of your brothers?
Yeah, so my mom would just lock herself in her room, and she would just be in there all day. When she wasn't in there, she would not be at home. So she was there, but she wasn't there.
She was there, she just wasn't, like, present.
Yeah, she just wasn't present.
To continue the path along your journey, so after this experience, you had gone into foster care. How long were you in foster care before you started going to group homes?
So I was in foster care for about, I want to say, 3 years. Yeah, around 3 years. So, well, actually four. I went in when I was 11. We didn't get placed until I turned 12. So we were at the Jamison Center for 3 months, and then we got placed into a foster home. So yeah, I just spent about 4 years in different foster homes.
You mentioned the Jamison Center. Can you explain what the Jamison Center is?
So the Jamison Center is where everybody, as soon as you get taken away, it's where you get placed. All the kids, before you go into a foster home or get adopted, or go back to your family.
So essentially like a holding center for the kids that get taken from their parents?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And then when bouncing around homes, were you usually with your brothers or no?
So the first home, two of my two baby brothers ended up going to a separate home. And me and my two other brothers ended up going to a home together. This was a good foster home. There was no issue in this foster home. Very minimal issues, but not as severe as the foster home after that one. The foster home after that one, we had all went to it because we would all be together. We didn't, and that was the only reason why. The other thing too was my big brother was dating the foster parent's daughter. So that's another reason why we had moved there. And that foster home is where we all got abused. You know, there wasn't just only one. Everybody was abused there, me and all my brothers. And I ended up leaving that foster home because I couldn't. I was suicidal. At 13 years old, I was already planning my whole suicide. So it was either stay there and kill myself or leave. So I told my little brother to pretend to fight with me. And we pretended to have a big fight so I could get kicked out. But they still weren't going to kick me out until I told them that when I kill myself, it's going to be your fault. And then after that, that's when they finally let me leave.
Did they let just you leave or
all of you? Well, just me. My other brothers, they didn't want to leave because my big brother didn't want to leave because his girlfriend lived there. So that's the only reason why they stayed there, because they wanted to stay there because my big brother was there. They all always spend more time with him playing video games and being around him. So for me to leave, it was just, they didn't really care because they didn't really understand how much I had done for them, because they were just kids. Well, we were all just kids, but I didn't, you know, I just.
They didn't understand how you took care of them.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that sounds really hard.
That's okay.
And imagine having to choose between your mental health and your family.
Yeah, I didn't want to leave because I didn't want to leave my brothers, but I couldn't stay there anymore.
I'm glad you were able to, like, self-recognize, even as a 13-year-old who had to grow up quickly and being a parent. Like, you self-recognize, like, I need to get out of here.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
And was there anyone that helped you around this time, like, when you were going through these emotions?
No, nobody knew. As a matter of fact, I didn't talk about this until yesterday. Yeah, so.
What was school like for you during this time?
For me, during this time, so school had, for me, was always like, I didn't really have a lot of friends or nobody, but I liked getting prizes. I liked going on the field trips when you're reading lots of books. So during the entire time that all this bad stuff has been going on throughout my life, I always try to do really well in school. For me, school was a way, like an outlet. Even though I didn't really have friends because everybody thought I was the weird guy, I like to try and participate, try and do my best. And sometimes I would excel, but I did end up getting kicked out a lot of the time from school when I was in that foster home. During my time in that foster home, I had been getting suspended every so often, and then I ended up getting expelled from the eighth grade.
So before that, like in the foster home, you were kind of excelling in school, and then once you got into that foster care placement, everything in school kind of academically changed for you.
Yeah, I also started doing very bad in school. My grades went down. Everything just kind of dwindled all the way down.
So as everything kind of was dwindling down, was there anything that helped you kind of like pick yourself back up? Like what made you make that change in school?
So getting kicked out, moving from the foster home, it had helped me do better in school once I had left. I started to do better in the new foster home. I was doing really well until I had met one of my old friends, and he was messing up, being involved in bad stuff, and I wasn't trying to follow that, but then I started to get influenced, and then I knew that I wasn't doing well, and I had told my foster mom about my brothers and their situation at that foster home, and she opened up space for them to come to the same foster home with me. But my brothers didn't want to, because my big brother didn't want to. So they ended up staying there, and I just ended up, instead of keep doing well, I decided that I'm just going to do what's not best for me. And I just completely disregarded school, got involved with bad people, until I eventually got expelled from the high school as well.
Do you feel like if your brothers were to move in with you, you guys' life would be different? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I honestly believe that if they would have moved with me into that foster home, we would all be in a completely different position than we are today. Only because for some reason, I have no idea why, I've always been the leader. I don't know why I have to take that role, but I've always been the leader, and even to this day right now, I'm still leading my little brothers, even today. And I don't like that, because I had to go through a bunch of negative things, and they should be above the position I'm in today. They should be doing better than what I'm doing, is what I'm trying to say.
Do you feel like you were the leader of your family, but it seems like they kind of tried to follow along with your brother, probably because they had like similar things in common. Did that affect you at all?
No. What affected me was that I hadn't reached out to them and told them. I explained to them that I was involved with bad stuff, and that I felt like alone in a sense, and that I would rather have at least one of my brothers with me, and that would help me do better. And I feel like when they said that none of them wanted to come over to where I was at, that they didn't really care about my well-being. So that kind of hurt me as a brother reaching out for help. I had never reached out to anybody, any of my brothers, for help, because I was always the one taking care of them. So it bothered me.
How do you navigate feelings like that? Like just your brothers not kind of giving you the same hand you helped them with?
So for me, it led me to self-sabotage. I went in with a bad crowd, started doing all kinds of bad stuff. I eventually had gotten kicked out of the foster home, and then that's when I ended up in group homes.
Looking back, are there moments that when you think if someone had stepped in when you were younger, things would have gone differently?
I ask myself that question every day. That's a very tough question. I honestly try and think what could have helped me. I believe if somebody would have sat down with me maybe and told me not to seek validation from anybody at all, whatsoever, no matter what, never, ever seek validation. Seek validation from yourself, not others. Maybe that could help, but I am not 100% sure. And that's a very, very good question, because I believe anybody who has been where I've been and others around should ask themselves that question every day, because if somebody could find the answer, they can prevent another youth from following our path.
Can you explain, you mentioned seeking validation, the importance of like seeking validation, like what made you kind of seek that?
For me, seeking validation was always something I had always tried to do. Growing up, I was considered a black sheep within my entire family. Not my dad's side, but my mom's side. And those were the ones that lived near us. So I was always a black sheep. So in my eyes, I was always the outcast. And I only wanted to fit in. So I would always constantly try to fit in and try and seek validation. And that's what really led me down my rocky path, seeking validation. I seeked it from everywhere that I was supposed to get it from, which is my loved ones and my family, And then I didn't get it there, so I seeked it from the bad crowd. And they gave it to me. I was really well respected. People looked up to me. Little people my age and people younger than me looked up to me as somebody important. But it was only because I was doing bad stuff.
You see an inside of the justice system and just different systems that most people read about. What did those places, group homes, juvenile detention center, and prison, teach about yourself?
Those had taught me to... To become more independent. The juvenile system taught me to be dependent and to go surround myself with certain groups. But when I went into prison, it taught me to be more independent because of the division within the group that I had associated with.
For a lot of youth, one system leads to another. What do you think contributed to the things that shifted from group homes to incarceration in your life?
So in group homes, people don't really understand is that in group homes, in a way, you are being groomed for incarceration. A group home is similar to a jail. When you go to jail, there's people with high offensive crimes, murder, kidnapping, carjacking. Those are highly violent. When you go to, and let's say you stole the candy bar from the store, your cellie might have committed a murder, might have did a carjacking. So that is extremely similar to a group home. When you go to a group home, the kid that's in your room, who's probably 17 or 16, and you're 13 or 15, and they're older, that guy might have beat up one of the foster kids, might have attacked the foster parent, and you might be there in that group home because you got caught smoking weed. Or you might have had some pills that weren't even a scheduled substance. And now you're in a room with somebody who's in there for stomping out their foster brother or foster parent. So that's extremely similar to jail, where it's basically the same thing, along with welfare checks. When they come in and they do a welfare check in a group home, they do the exact same thing in prison. Those very similar. The food as well. The food is exactly the same. Frozen food. You know, instant food, water with water. Just like the mashed potatoes in a group home. They're instant. A lot of the rice. So a lot of the food is very similar to the food in jail or prison as well. So I feel like that's how incarceration is tied into group homes. Along with the staff switching out constantly during certain hours, it's the exact same thing in a jail or a prison. The keys jingling on the group home staff's pocket is the exact same thing you hear when you're sitting in a cell in the hallway when they do their walks. Exact identical. There is some differences from a group home and a jail or a prison, but they are very similar. So I feel like they groom youth for what they expect them to go to in the future.
Did you recognize these similarities early on or kind of after your experiences?
Honestly, I didn't even understand that these were so similar until a year after I had went to something called MCRP, and that's when at MCRP, that's even more similar to a group home setting, exactly identical. That one is exactly identical as a group home, but that's when I realized that they were similar because of that place.
What is MCRP?
So MCRP is a men's community reentry program, which is a program that allows for inmates who have a minimum of, I believe, 3 years to be able to go to board and possibly get sent to MCRP, where you'll be able to do a work release. So they have all kinds of different people from different levels of yards. The only ones that aren't allowed there are sex offenders. So anybody's allowed, general population, SNY, PC, but no sex offenders. And it's a pretty good spot. I was hesitant and skeptical because I was political where I was at. And for those who don't know, political is being involved with certain groups who have to live by a set of rules, which is in the general population. And so I didn't believe in being housed with somebody who was from an SNY yard, which is a special needs yard, or a PC yard. But it was allowed to go there. So if you were in the general population, you were allowed to go to MCRP. I just didn't want to, until my roommate told me that I have no family, no money, nobody there that cares about me. Why am I going to stay? So I decided to go.
How did you navigate the emotional ups and downs of your journey?
For one, I kind of escaped reality a lot of times. Alcohol, substances. So that's not something that's positive, but that's what I did for a while to escape the reality I was in. See, when people are in that headspace where they're using substances, it's not because they enjoy it, but it's because they're trying to escape something else. And they don't even understand or comprehend what they're trying to escape. I didn't understand that until now. That's the only thing I was trying to do was to escape. But that's what I would do. And anytime it was either through substance or violence. Those were the only two ways that I would deal with my emotions. I never talked about emotions. I believe that the only emotion I have is anger. I didn't believe in sadness, happiness, or anything else. Only anger. And that's how I managed until barely 2 years ago.
Some people lose hope when things get hard. Like, what was the turning point from you? Like, that escape, like, how did you escape?
Hi, this is Liam from The Editing Room. And that's where we're going to wrap up part one of our inspiring conversation with Pablo. Make sure to catch up with us next month to hear how he found hope, rebuilt his life, and discovered an entirely new way forward. Now back to Brian and Janessa.
If you or someone you know can relate to these topics that we've discussed, if you're interested in finding our show notes or any of our recommended resources for our episodes, be sure to check us out at our website at www.kern.org/YVA. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or would like to recommend a topic or guest, feel free to reach out at youthvoiceamplified@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening, and see you next time.
And we out of here.
Youth Voice Amplified is a youth-led project of the Kern County Superintendent of Schools Office, created, produced, and hosted by Janessa Fisher and Brian Johnson, with writing, research, and additional production support by Kim Silva, Allison Baptiste, and the Kern Educational Television Network. Major funding for the Youth Voice Amplified podcast is provided by the Student Achievement and Support Division of the California Department of Education through the Homeless Innovative Program Grant. Thanks for listening.